Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Juice on the Cuse podcast. Back at it for another one here. Matt D'Agostino and Wes Chang. And Wes, we're doing something we have not done here. We are talking about a Syracuse home loss for the basketball team, losing 85-69 to Florida State on Tuesday. Literally the first home loss for, as you mentioned last time, any men's or women's basketball program this season. So things started out well enough, and they went bad. They went bad. They went sour, and they went bad in a hurry as Syracuse falters in the second half, getting outscored 50-33 and losing 85-69. 50 points and a half for a team that has hung its hat on defense this year, Wes, seemed to be a big problem.
Yeah, Matt, when Syracuse loses, they really lose. Their average losses by 22.8 points this season. And yeah, one stat I wanted to point out to you is that Syracuse was only able to force 9 turnovers against Florida State. That's a season low for the Orange. And again, they've, you know, we talk about their struggles on offense, but if they're not playing defense well, they're not going to win games. And when you counter that with 16 turnovers on your own side, it's really hard to overcome. One other thing I wanted to point out was I was looking for a little bit more production from Quadir Copeland coming off that game-winning shot against Miami, only able to play 15 minutes because he was saddled with 4 fouls. He picked up those 2 quick ones early in the first half and only took 1 shot the whole game. So for a guy who's been so critical to the offense, 0 assists, 2 turnovers.
One of the key energy guys for them as well. This game was super close. Florida State took a lead with just under 11 minutes to go, took a 1-point lead. And the rest of the way, they outscore Syracuse 30-15. So things unraveled very quickly. And again, we talk about things that we have not seen happen very often. The defense was not there. You mentioned the turnovers or forcing turnovers. Just 9 of them was not there. That's kind of been a staple for them. And while they have not been a good 3-point shooting team as a whole this season, just 1 make in 14 attempts, like in any form of basketball, it seems these days, whether it's at the youth level, high school, college, pros, if you're not making threes, you're not winning games anymore.
Yeah, Matt, that's actually the stat that I wanted to point out next. You mentioned 1-for-14 shooting from 3-point land, and you and I have been really singing the praises of J.J. Starling recently. Deservedly so. He knocked down 6 3-pointers against Miami, but that was completely non-existent against the Seminoles on Tuesday. He was really the chief culprit about behind Syracuse's poor shooting, 0-for-5 from downtown. Anyone not named Chris Bell missed all their shots from 3. And I also wanted to talk about his starting backcourt mate, Judah Mintz. He was one of the few reasons why Syracuse had a lead at halftime and why Syracuse had a chance of winning around, again, as to your point, 11 minutes left in the game. 28 points on 9-for-14 shooting, got to the line 15 times. But Matt, I think what made him really successful on Saturday against Miami was that he was looking for his teammates, career high 13 assists. He only had 3 on Tuesday. So the stat line looked better for him in terms of his offense, but I think he needs to get his teammates more involved and get the team better looks. Driving to the lane and getting fouled is a nice way to pad your stat line. I just don't know if it's winning basketball.
He can find his teammates all he wants. If they're not making shots, though, he's not getting those assists, and that seemed to be the case. Starling is the only other guy in double figures for them. Chris Bell goes 2 for 9. He broke a streak of 4 straight games in double figures. And Justin Taylor, for the 4th time in the last 7 games, had 0 made field goals. So, like, I don't know whether it's a chicken or an egg kind of thing, but the shots weren't falling. So it's tough to do that. With Taylor, I mean, that's startling to see no made field goals in 4 of the last 7. I don't know whether it means Quadir Copeland should also move into the starting lineup now and maybe hit the reset button on Taylor a little bit. Don't take him out of the rotation, but ease some of the pressure off of him from starting games and see if he can get on a roll coming off the bench and just kind of seeking his shot more often. I don't know what the right answer there is, but having him as a non-factor offensively in the starting five is just like what we saw with Nyheim McLeod earlier in the season, and it's hard to play 4-on-5.
Yeah, the thing about Justin Taylor, and I was texting you and I was texting Jim Stickschulte last night, and he made a good point, which is Justin Taylor is really not a great catch, and he's more of a catch and shoot guy. He doesn't create his own shot, and he has a long release on his shot. So what you really need to do is run him on pin downs, run him off, you know, elbow screens, kind of get him. The way to really boost his offense is really to get him screens for open looks where he can, you know, take his time and get that set shot in. Because right now, the way they're using him, especially in the starting lineup, to your point, Matt, I don't think that's the most effective way. And that's part of the reasons for his struggles is they're not really trying to jumpstart his style of offense, which again is how they used Joe Girard last season, which is, you know, you run around, you run off a couple screens, you find yourself open, and you can jack a three that way. Justin Taylor looks lost in the offense, and I don't know if that's necessarily his fault. I just don't think they're exploiting his skill set.
The 1 for 14 from downtown for Syracuse, the least efficient game for them beyond the arc since 2012. Oof. Against Louisville. So certainly this doesn't help the tournament resume, Wes. Things are, that's kind of the first real quote-unquote bad loss they've had. Not that Florida State is a bad team, but a team on the same level as them, and as you mentioned, the margin of defeat, a little startling here after Tuesday's game.
Yeah, so Matt, you and I were texting earlier in the day before the game, and you texted me a couple publications that had started to put Syracuse in their projections. You know, Bracketeer had Syracuse among the last 4 teams in. Bracketville had actually put Syracuse as the next 4 out. So a lot of momentum after that Miami win. I do feel like this, you know, it does puncture a hole in Syracuse's balloon to the NCAA tournament bid. Florida State came in as 93 in net, which means that this is a quad three loss for Syracuse. Its first non-quad one loss of the entire season. Those quad three losses don't look good. I do think Florida State's net is going to rise because they're now 6-2 in conference play. They started slow in the year, had a couple bad losses, but they really picked up momentum as ACC play has started. And then Syracuse, you can see the effect. I always talk about Syracuse needing to beat peer schools. You can see the effect of that because they came into the game 68th in net. They dropped to 82. So for Florida State, that went from a quad one win on the road to a quad two win on the road. And you can see how one game can really affect. And you and I were talking about this pre-show. You know, it's kind of difficult to, you should really do it at the end of the season and not track this, or at least not release it until the point of selecting a team, because these things shift all the time. Oregon and Pitt were quad one wins. Now they're quad two wins. And then, you know, that's going to change 5 more times before the end of the year.
Yeah. Either wait till the end of the year, or if a game played on a Tuesday night would be a quad one win at that time, leave it as a quad one win and don't have it change so many damn times. It's just like, I don't know, like, oh, that's a great win. And the next week it's not a great win. Like there has to be some sort of solidification of that, it feels like, or like you said, just wait till the end of the year and total it all up at that point and figure it out. But there's a lot to follow, but certainly probably the most damning defeat that we've seen from Syracuse basketball this season. On the other side of the break, though, Wes had a chance to sit down with 2025 offensive lineman out of Texas. I know they build them big down there in Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. He'll talk to Byron Washington on the other side of the break.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Wes Chang here. We're at the part of the podcast where we get to talk a little football recruiting. Syracuse is mostly focused in the Northeast, but they've continued to recruit within Texas. We welcome on someone Syracuse offered in December, 2025 offensive lineman Byron Washington. Byron, thanks for taking some of your time to speak with us. How's it going today?
I'm good. Just got done with first day back at the facility working out.
Glad you're back at it, Byron. And you are 6'8", 380 pounds. You're a powerful lineman and watching your game film. So tell me about the kind of offensive lineman you are.
I'm a leader, first of all. I'm very dominant at the point of attack. I can slow down fast speed rushes, power speed rushes, and I'm just an all-around lineman who's still working on developing his weaknesses, but like I'm a pretty good all-around lineman for now.
Byron, Texas, Duke, Houston, Tulsa, Baylor, among the schools to offer you. How does it feel to be recruited by all these colleges?
It feels good, but to me, it ain't really about that. I mean, I was once the kid who didn't have anything, so I'm just working to continue to stay ahead of the game so I won't get left behind.
So, Byron, I wanted to talk about your Syracuse offer from December. What do you think of it?
I feel like Syracuse is working on building a new coaching staff with coaches like starting with the head coach, Coach E, that was at Texas A&M. I feel like those guys are trying to turn the program around and turn them into a powerhouse.
Byron, you got the offer from Coach E, Elijah Robinson. What's your relationship like with him from his time at Texas A&M?
I'm more closer with Coach Nick, and me and Coach E, I would say we're pretty good. I understand it, but me and Coach Nick, we hit each other up the most. That's what I'm closest to.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry about that. Tell me more about your relationship with Coach Nick Williams.
Coach Nick, I respect the way he coaches, and he respects the way I play, so it's just a mutual respect there. And I would love to have him as a coach. He's a great guy, understands the Texas way of play, and he just understands me, and I could just talk to him about anything.
Byron, do you plan on taking a visit to Syracuse anytime soon?
Yes, sir. I'll take a visit to Syracuse when I can back when OVs open up. I'll take a visit down there.
Byron, what do you think of Syracuse as a whole?
I feel like it's a pretty good school. You know, I'm a down south boy, but I like the cold weather as well. So when I go to my visit, I'll figure out and see what I like about the school.
Byron, as I mentioned, you've got a lot of offers. Anyone standing out to you at this moment?
No, sir, I feel like everyone is pretty even right now. I'm just weighing out my options, seeing what's good, where I can fit in that, what kind of system I can fit in and all that.
Okay, so if you had to describe a system that would fit you best, what system would that be?
Power, counter, pulling, and not too much wide zone, but a little bit. But to be honest, I really can't say that because I know when I get to college, I'll be a different body. But, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good at all, but I'm going to still continue to improve my game. And I know at college I'm going to be a different player than who I am now. I'll lean up, get a lot stronger.
Byron, you talked to me about your leadership before. I want to get you out of here on this one. Just talking to you now, it seems like you really use your personality as part of your leadership style.
Yes, sir. I'm definitely leading up the younger cats here at DeSoto, trying to just get them to adapt, just kind of how the older cats got me to adapt when I was a baby.
Byron, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. Good luck with everything.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Byron Washington, ladies and gentlemen, DeSoto High School's own in Texas. Again, 6'8", 380 pounds. He's a three-star prospect on Rivals. You heard him say that he was going to take an official visit to Syracuse when that season opens up, so pay attention to his recruitment later in 2024. We will take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up the Juice on the Cuse podcast, and I'm Wes Chang.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wrapping things up here on the Juice on the Q's podcast on the Bleav Network and Rivals. Want to appreciate you guys hopping in and listening to Wes and I again babble about Syracuse sports. Final thought for me here on a Wednesday is the ACC. When we were looking at bracket projections, Bracketology has only three ACC teams listed in the field of 68, which is surprisingly low for what we've considered for much of our lifetime as the premier basketball conference in the country. The conference got five seeds last year for a second straight season. But from 2002 to 2021, Wes, having a third of the teams in the conference make the tournament happened just four times and never twice in a row. So we're seeing something a little bit different from the norm. However, in the last two tournaments, with them getting five teams in each year, the ACC has racked up 21 wins, which is second only to the Big 12's 22. And they've had three Final Four teams in that bunch, the most out of any power conference in the last 2 years. So I guess it's more quality, not quantity, coming out of the ACC, but a surprise to see so few teams projected to make the tournament at this point.
And Matt, I think that goes to the parity of college basketball. You know, it used to be you had these five or six conferences that dominated the bids, but you're starting to see all these other mid-major conferences start to produce really quality teams as you have the transfer portal, people moving in and out, and there's not one set path to the NBA from college sports anymore. So you can see that all these quote-unquote minor conferences are really getting quality players. Matt, you know, the news wasn't all bad for Syracuse on Tuesday, even with that loss to Florida State. The Orange finding out they're one of their stars in the 2024 class, incoming freshman Donnie Freeman, named a McDonald's All-American in his first it's actually their first in nine seasons. So, Matt, you played trivia with me in the last podcast. I'll play trivia with you. The last time Syracuse had someone play in the McDonald's All-American game, who was that?
This is bad because I was going to ask you the same question because I honestly didn't know and I didn't look it up. Nine seasons, Chris McCullough.
Chris McCullough was not a McDonald's All-American. He was a Jordan Brand Classic All-American. So I'll give you the answer. It's Malachi Richardson out of New Jersey. In 2015, obviously had a brief stint in the NBA after a dynamic NCAA tournament run to the Final Four.
Game against Virginia is one I'll remember for forever. But Malachi
Richardson has gone mad.
Oh my! Wes breaking out a little play-by-play for you there. That's interesting. I like that. Way to go on that. But we like McDonald's All-Americans. I'm loving it. It's good to see them getting back into the fold in that regard. So hopefully that'll be the first of many coming down the road for Adrian Autry and the Syracuse basketball program. Well, that'll do it. You've been listening to the Juice on the Q's podcast on the Bleav Network and Rivals.com. For the dashingly, charmingly Wes Chang, I'm Matt D'Agostino.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.